All right, we are back.
We are back.
One more time.
One more time.
This is Just Being Brothers, and I'm Little Brother Steve.
And I'm Big Brother Mike. And Just Being Brothers. What are we doing today, Steve?
We are talking about fathers and sons, fathers and daughters.
Yeah. Well, I'm a father. I'm a father and son guy.
I'm a father son guy and a father daughter guy.
Before we get into any kind of little specifics, and this, folks, you know, we always have to listen, laugh, and learn. This is going to be just a conversation. We're not going to pull out a lot of Pew research.
No, we're not going to do that.
Statistics, but we're not doing it. We're just two guys who have the same father, okay? And we two guys who were also fathers, okay? And the importance of fathers. But before you write a paper or anything, if someone said to you, Steve, what is the importance of fathers? What would be your elevator speech? Short answer, the importance of fathers. You can take it anywhere.
So the first word that popped into my head was guidance.
Oh, I like it.
Guidance. Guiding my sons into the future correctly and successfully.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. You're going to hear it later on, folks. Did he show them morals and values? And we give them that a set of morals and values to live by. Okay. And we have some distraction from outside. People making faces out of the door. But we give them that set of morals and values to live by. And I think fathers do that more than mothers. You don't hear a big deal about absentee mothers. Oh, he's an absentee mother. It's the absentee father that I think gets the most rancor, the most disgrace when they're not there or when they have no effect. And so, fathers, what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, hopefully you had a good father. We did. Was he a perfect guy? No. Okay. And I don't think you can ever have a perfect father because there are no perfect
people. I'm a perfect father.
Are you okay? Steve says he's a perfect father. Well, tell us why you think so.
I think if you talk to my sons and my daughter, they're going to tell you dad is the best dad. And I know everybody's going to say that about their dad, but they're going to really probably speak highly of the dad. They probably, you know, some people say, if I could choose another father, I would. Or if I could choose another dad, I would. I think my guys are going to say they choose me all over again.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I would be shocked if they said anything different.
Okay. And knowing them the way I know them and seeing you with them, I think that you have that fatherly nature. Because I've also seen you with your fellow athletes who are grown men, been grown men.
Mm-hmm.
We had an event for Steve's birthday. Some of his athletes came that he coached. And these guys were like, the respect they showed to him was a fatherly kind of respect. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's there as well. I don't know if all those guys had fathers.
Yeah, some of them did. Some of them didn't. Yeah.
Okay. But certainly that's important. One of the things that we know that fathers do is they are the people who set that foundation for emotional development.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, don't cry.
Right.
Things like, get up, you're not hurt.
Yeah.
You're not hurt. Try again.
Yeah.
Never give up. Okay. Not giving you slack where you deserve it. Okay.
Yeah.
And not giving you slack where you don't. For example, you learn how to play ball. You can talk to the ball underhand. You're 6. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you get to be about 12, dag and throw that ball up to your overhand, expect you to hit it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's guiding you through to throw you a ball overhand.
Developmental.
When you're 6 years old, that's not helpful at all. And the same with your values, the mistakes you can make at 5 and 6 years old. A good dad is not going to allow that. As far as when you get to be a lot older, because that's just not how the world works. I think a father's job is to work with the mother, okay, to prepare your child for the world they're going to live in. But is there a difference between being somebody's father and somebody's dad?
Well, according to the courts, there is.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it's verbiage. You know, some kids call people father, and some people like, hey, dad, or hey, daddy, or that's my old man. You know, I think it's verbiage. I don't think anything. I think they're all the same hats.
I disagree.
Just different colors.
Disagree.
Talk to me.
I disagree. I think father, I think anybody, father is a passive thing. Okay, we all know how First of all, it's also even, you know, father is a noun. He's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm mm-hmm. his father. Mm-hmm. And it's also a verb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm able to father a child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anybody can be a father, not anybody, but almost any male, okay, who comes in contact with a female at a certain time can father a child. That's momentary, that's instantaneous, then it's over. But to then go out and be a dad, okay, and raise a child, I think that's totally different. I have a buddy who knows his father.
I think it's
and
just
he knows his dad.
I think it's just verbiage, man. Loves his father,
but he doesn't love his dad.
I kind of think it's. I get where you're going with that, but isn't the if the father does the same thing as the dad, isn't he the father still?
Yes. That's a good,
and if
that's
the
good.
Dad does the same thing as the father, isn't he still a dad?
Yeah, he's still the dad, but he's not the father. He's not the father of the
yeah,
child.
Yeah, yeah, because the father is the person that is why he's here. And
he's not the person who fathered the child. Okay, we'll say that. He's not the person.
The father is not the person that fathered the child.
You can be a dad and not be the person who fathered the child.
You can be a dad and not be the person that fathered the child.
You can come into a situation where but, one already has a child.
Right, right. But can you be the dad and the father?
Yes.
And can't you be the father and the dad?
I think you can be the father and the dad.
Our yeah, so then it's, that's why I say. That's what I'm saying.
Our father and also our dad.
Yeah, so that's why I say you can be both.
Okay, but I know that our father's brother was a father, but he wasn't a dad.
But he wasn't a dad. Well, okay, circumstances are different.
And I saw one of our cousins more times than she did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah.
Me to tell him about about it. So yeah, it's an important thing, and I think once again, men, you know, how do you learn to be a father? Well, I think you got to watch fathers. And, I know. I think I watched that father, and I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to
Yeah, father knows best. I watched that. I spent a lot of time watching Fathers Knows Best, and I spent a lot of time watching.
Not poor nephew. That's what not poor nephew. See, the two great cats, both of them. Okay.
Excuse me.
That, no, I know. That's I've seen Stephen actually, but he's got you. We're so blessed. We have good guys. We also have good mothers in their life. But that's the counterbalance. If dad says do this and I want it done now, and mother says, no, you can do it a little bit later, baby. You can do it tomorrow.
That's not what happened in our house. Not from my perspective.
No, mine neither. No,
Okay.
That's my point. Is that you need to have a good balance
of the
woman, the mother, or whoever the woman is in the household. And sometimes it's the grandmother. Sometimes the guy's single parenting his children, maybe his mom is helping.
When I look back now, just for this instant, I could be way wrong, but it seems like all the balance inside the house was on mom's side, and all the balance on the outside of the house was dad's side. What do you think about that?
Example.
So what did dad do in the house? What did he ever do in the house for us? Nothing. Everything that we learned and did in the house, we learned from my mom. Everything we learned and did outside the house was our dad.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And I think that, I know in my house with my two guys, I had a thing, certain things were mom. Grades, you know, a certain amount of, you know, acting out of school, maybe that's mom.
Even I think from folding clothes and putting clothes in the drawer to making beds and putting your clothes in the dirty hamper, those are all moms. All dad was reinforced moms. Decision for you to do those things.
That is interesting that you say that because I remember, and once again, our dad was military. Mom did all the washing, et cetera, but dad did a couple of things. I remember whenever I would go in dad's drawer, he said, Michael, go in my drawer and get so-and-so. His drawer, his underwear drawer and sock drawer, always very neat.
Yeah.
Very neat. So even though mom did that, the neatness thing came. I always watched that. He says he wore a uniform every day. Even when he wore civilian clothes, because he had a great physique.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of him in civilian clothes. It's hard to imagine. But
you can't remember dad in
civilian clothes? Yeah. I can't. Because we went fishing
very
a
nice clothes because he said, hey, when I wear not civilian clothes, I want them to be nice. But we learned neatness, polishing your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My thing same with the same with my guys. If they were not getting their grades right, okay, mom, go up there, Heather. I'd tag along.
Yeah.
Got a note home that somebody told a lie,
mm-hmm.
got caught stealing. No, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
This, because my job was to make sure I put him in position never to be
in that position where they again. Can be,
find themselves in the system.
Yeah, yeah.
Once man. You're in the system, yeah, especially as a young man, you're in there forever.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so you yes. don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. The next thing I see right here is that the fathers set the bar with relationships for others. Fathers set the bar for how you treat people, how you relate to people. What do you think about that? I can think of one instance, two instances where that's true. I'll start with how you shake hands. My younger son used to shake hands with that wet fish thing and look down. You know, how you doing, Mr. Jones? I'm like, hey, now look up.
But I didn't learn. I don't think I learned that at home.
Really?
I can't remember that. I don't remember that. Because by the time I got to a shaking hand stage, he was gone.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, well, what would be, didn't you shake hands at 12 or what?
With who?
Maybe. I guess that was too. Yeah, maybe that was.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
By the time I got to shaking a hand where it meant importance.
It meant anything.
Yeah, he was gone. I had to learn that. I kind of got that, I think. I think I might have got it from one of my coaches one day when I shook his hand. Like, this is hard. This is strong. You can shake a hand. You know, like, and then you start gripping harder.
Man, that is such a good point you make there because it says right there that if we don't get it from fathers, we're going to get it from someplace else.
Yeah.
You, yeah. Fortunately, you know, mom kept you in sports. You were always in sports. We were around positive people because we didn't have, we had one uncle.
Yeah.
We didn't have, our parents were basically only children.
Yeah.
You know, so we didn't have uncles or aunts that we could also. Because, you know, your uncle is kind of like your assistant dad, the other
yeah.
guy.
I know. I'm thinking uncle.
Uncle. We didn't have any real.
Yeah.
We had great uncles.
Okay, our great uncle. Uncle, great uncle that yeah. lived down in the hill that made the bootleg whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Cliff.
Uncle Cliff.
Uncle Cliff.
I think he might have called me on a handshake one time.
Did he? Okay.
I think he might have called me because, you know, he was a giant.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was still little at the yeah. time. And he had them big old hands and stuff.
Slender, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are the things. You know,
he might have called me on a handshake once.
Look a man in the eye.
Yeah.
You get that from your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, look me in my eye, boy. Now, it's funny, you know, we talked another show about culture. Check that out if you get a chance. In some cultures, it's not cool to look somebody in the eye.
Right.
Yeah, like in the Asian right. culture. If you're yeah. In American culture, your boss is giving you the business because you messed up, and you drop your eyes, your boss says, man, look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
But in Asian cultures, when someone is giving you the business, you drop your eyes.
Almost like putting your tail between your legs.
Exactly, as a sign of respect and superiority for them.
That's what animals do, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
you know, any wolf pack, you know, you know,
turn over on their back.
On their back, man. You know, be submissive.
Be submissive.
Yeah, so yeah.
That kind of. What about with daughters? What do fathers do? We're going to segue, but as far as setting the bar with others, what do fathers do? You've got two daughters. They're beautiful. They're different, but they're beautiful. And look, both look, well, especially one looks just like you. What do fathers do with that? What do fathers do?
So I think that for me. Let me just say for me, it's because I came at a time of need, which was like a hero rescue type person. When my daughter and I connected, I knew her, but we really didn't have that.
Your first daughter or second daughter?
My oldest daughter, yeah.
Okay.
And we really didn't have that 1 through 13 time together. Our time was more 13 through 18.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I have a few pictures of her when she was younger, but we didn't have that bonding. But so she knew who I was. I think she knew who I was. She saw what I did, but she wasn't part of it. And when the opportunity came along for her to be part of it, she was like, yeah, let's roll with this.
She's very close.
Yeah.
She talked to you.
Yeah.
She loves her dad.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. It's great to have your oldest daughter. Your younger daughter is further away. Lives further
yeah.
away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tony doesn't have the same.
She's time. She's not an ex baby. She's what came after X?
Why?
Oh, and Z, right?
And then Z,
you know, they call them, you know, like the baby boomers,
yeah,
the X.
Your younger one is going to be millennial.
Yeah, she's a millennial kid.
She's in there with my. With
yeah,
my,
so
my
she's so she walks, you know, she doesn't walk on a tightrope. She walks on a board. a 2x4, which means, and when I say that, it means she's going to be more secure. She's not going to be as, you know, not as daring. I think my oldest daughter's more daring and go out there. Yeah, yeah.
I would have seen it the other way around. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I think all millennials, because I think all millennials, you know, they all are like, they want to be sure. All right, and if they're not sure, they're gonna stay. You know, they're gonna stay where they're safe and at. You know, they're not gonna be as daring. I mean, you know, if you look at each generation, which one is more daring? The baby boomers were daring. Who came after the baby boomers?
Baby boomers, then they came. Give me a minute. I can't remember. I know my oldest son is that generation X.
Right, and mine are X kids too.
Yeah, because our boys are the same age.
We know what they about. All right, and the baby boomers were not. You know, the baby boomers were like, you know, they fought in the war and Vietnam and did all that stuff, man. They really opened up the country with what they did.
Baby boomers were out there. Baby boomers, that first generation coming out of World War II. We were that first generation that thought everything was possible.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we. And also, we were, however, in that generation that realized in the middle of that, the bubble burst with Watergate, Vietnam, realized, oh, really?
Yeah.
It was not the way we thought it was.
Okay, yeah.
And I know that's getting off father's foot for a bit, but. Yeah, I mean, fathers and daughters, fathers and sons. I can think of one situation. I'll tell this story. My younger son was on a team with this other gentleman, young guy. Practice August. You remember, you know, I know, coach, you know, you practice in August. They were practicing in August, Pop Warner. And the little ice cream soda truck was there after practice. Very smart. Good place to get business.
No doubt.
Okay. We're walking toward the truck. You know, the kids are going to be going toward the car. And one kid says to his dad, "Dad, can I have a soda?" He's like, "No, man, we got soda at home. You can wait till you get home."
Mm-hmm.
His sister, a year younger, comes up and says, "Daddy, can I have," before she got soda out of her mouth,
mm-hmm.
his hand was going to his pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
His hand was going to his pocket.
Yeah.
So basically, so after she got the soda and came back and drank it in her brother's face, I said, "Man, this is probably none of my business, but if you want to tell me, just say mine. Yeah, that's my business." But why is it that when your son asks for a soda, you told him to wait, but when your daughter asked for a soda, you went right ahead and gave it to her?
Yeah.
And he basically said, "Mike, I want my daughter to know she always can count on me. I want my son to know that sometimes you have to learn to wait in life."
That's what my kids. That's how I feel too, man.
Well, and so what you got is you got two different sets of values for you. And these two kids were a year apart. Two different sets of values for basically the same family. You feel the same way?
Yes, because you can't walk into McDonald's all the time and be first in line. You're gonna have to get in line and wait. You go to a drive-thru. It's rare that you're first. You always got to wait. And so you need to learn that.
Why don't you teach that to the daughter then? Didn't the daughter learn that also?
No, she didn't learn that. She's like, oh, you know, haven't you been in line in the store, like in McDonald's? And I use McDonald's because they don't have like a straight line. Their line is kind of like people just standing around and then you just move up. Haven't you been standing in line, you know, and then somebody comes up from beside you and the next thing you know, they look at you and then they move up in front of you. Like they pretend like you're still looking at the menu, not making your order, and they know what they want. And so they cut in front of you, and then you have to go, "Excuse me?
Yeah.
I was next." Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were looking at the menu. No, I'm not. I'm next.
Yeah.
You know.
I think there's more women doing that than men. I think that's
a lot of the issues that we see on the news is being caused by stuff like that.
Do you think some of the women that are acting out, and you see more women acting out now than ever before?
I think the women are acting out more than before because they know they got the law on their side.
It has nothing to do with fathers being in the home.
No, I think they know they got the law on their side. It's jail time now. If you do anything, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying they know that if a man does something with a woman, he's going to get at least 30 days and maybe more.
That's true. Well, I think women do matter. Well, let me ask you this as a father of women. Do you think women base their relationships on, in the real world with other men, on the relationship they have with their father?
I'm not really sure if I want to use my answer for that on the air. Let me just say that there are society of people who definitely choose their other half, their male partner, based on their relationship with their father.
Good or bad?
Good.
Yep, good. Good, okay.
And then there are other generations, other society people who don't base their relationships with their husbands or choose their husbands because of their father. They just choose him because of what he got in his pocket, his checkbook.
Well, that might be the way they had a relationship with their dad, too. Dad always is like, Daddy, I need $100. Boom, here's $200.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can begin to learn that behavior.
Yeah.
Now that becomes the kind of man you
exactly.
want.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. And so I can see that. Men, on the other hand, I think they don't base their relationship as much. Maybe they do, but they really base themselves on their father. And by that, I mean, there's things about, and once again, we have the same father. There's things about our father that, like I said, I'm like him. And there's other things based on him that I'm like, nah, I'm not quite like him in that way. So there's things about our dad, who I think was a good dad. You know, we got a great family. You know, we don't have any jailbirds, dope heads, anything like that. But there's things that we know. Either. So what'd you say?
So we don't have any lawyers or doctors either. At least not yet.
I know. Yeah, we're working on it.
We're working on it.
We're kind of a family of
It's always good to have a doctor in the family.
Yeah, it is. And I think we got one maybe coming, maybe a little brookie. But yeah, we got a couple of college graduates in the family, and we got teachers, and we got TV guys and producers and actors, but no doctors or lawyers just yet. But we're getting there. Okay. For a long time, we were just a family, and this is something that you learn from your parents too and your dad. Pay your bills, get a good job.
Pay your bills, get a good job.
And pay your bills. Yeah. And as far as high aspirations, our parents came from the Depression era, you know, undereducated people from the South. Getting a good job and keeping it, that was success then.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know that that's way a long way from being successful. Success goes way beyond that. But that was a version of success for them. I do think, though, there's things about my dad. I mean, there's things that I do. Even now that I say to myself, boy, I think Dad would be proud of me. And I've outlived him. Okay. And I still go, I think Dad would be proud of that.
And I don't know, man. For me, I don't know.
Okay.
For me, I don't know.
Okay.
What he would say.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I know when I meet people, and you know, I'm still dating at this age. One of the criteria for anyone would be would this person continue? I think my boys look at me in a positive vein. Would these people also have my sons continue to look at me in a positive vein? Okay, or as opposed to like Dad. What happened to your choices, man? Dad, what happened to your taste in people as far as education, values, morals? If I brought somebody home that was kind of like shady, different, I think boys still look to their dad for a certain amount of leadership. I think even when I watched you with your wrestlers, these guys are 40, 45 years old, they still had that deference for you as coach. Okay, and coach is just another dad.
So I think... And being a single father
makes a difference, yes.
Yeah, being a single man, he's gonna have, or he's gonna, I don't wanna say go through, but he's gonna have a lot of, or several, I don't wanna say a lot, but several different females that come along. And so they see the kind of woman that your father is always dating, and they would expect that to always be the same. They would expect for it to drop off. They probably didn't even think it would go up. They would be shocked if it went up, but they wouldn't be surprised.
They want somebody that's at least like their mother, though.
If
you had a mother, your mother passed, or your parents split up. Or if you still had parents, your parents are still together.
I don't even know if they want that, man. Remember, we're talking about a different generation of kids. Our generation, might would want to be like that. But those guys, I don't really think that matters as much as it matters that as long as you're happy.
Okay. Well, I think that's what most fathers want for their kids.
Yeah.
I just kind of think that I know.
Well, you should not shop because you're not shopping, and I use that fruitlessly, for a mate who's like your son's mom. You're shopping for somebody for yourself.
Correct.
So they're not going to be the one to say, oh, she's not like mom, you know. No, she's not like mom, you know.
But,
you know, I'm not looking for a woman like your mother. You know, I've dated your mother. Now I'm looking for somebody different.
I think if I were in that situation, if let's say somebody's still not, they're not divorced. Their mom's still in their life. I think they'd want somebody similar. Well, you know, I take that back because I didn't want anybody like my mom. I wanted somebody different.
Yeah.
I wanted somebody different.
Yeah, yeah.
I did, you know, but I did, you're right. I did model myself more like my dad, you know, neatness and all those kind of things and trying to strive for more. And of course, music lover. And even though he's a friendly guy, he was introverted. You and I are more extroverted.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. By comparison. But yeah, I guess I did model. There's so many places that dads come in, you know, self-defense when, you know, who teaches you how to put your dukes up and defend yourself? That's dad.
You know, it's scary. It's funny that you said that because when we first started talking about this, one of the things that we learned early on from our fathers and our mothers as well is if somebody hits you, you better hit them back.
Better hit them back.
And then, you know, and then being in the educational field like I am, you know, you expect your kids to get hit by a kid and don't do anything back because if he hits back, then he's going to get in trouble. And that don't make sense. You know, everybody, I don't know any parents that wouldn't tell that don't say, somebody hits you, you better hit them back. I think that's just an innate thing that parents do with your kids. You know, I don't think anybody raises their kid and says, if he hits you, just to stand there. No, okay. No, they don't say that to your kid. No, if he hits you, they say, you better hit him back.
I think so. I don't think every parent teaches that, though. I do.
I do. I think all of them do.
No, just go tell the find an adult. Find someone hits you, you find an adult. Well, I'm like, well, you know, maybe somebody who's like twice my size hit me, maybe I find an adult. But somebody my size, I think the kids have to learn to stand their ground.
Yeah.
And then begin to learn that you don't always have to handle that physically.
Right. But in the beginning,
you know, when they're not hitting that hard,
it's self-preservation. It's always been self-preservation. Well,
they're not leaving any bruises. No one's injuring anybody.
Right.
Okay. They're just kids hitting. And that's the first clue of, like, you have to speak, you have to defend yourself, mm-hmm. which goes into speaking up for yourself, standing up for yourself, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then from that goes into standing up for others.
That's right.
As well. Okay. And that's back to the morals and values.
Yeah.
So, you know, fathers and mothers teach us that. I mean, last question, Steve. Our father, which is more important in the life of a male? Well, last two questions. Father or mother? And I'm going to say age 0 to 17 when you leave the house. Which parent would have the most influence in your mind? And I know you're not a doctor or parental expert.
Which parent is more important for a child, 0 through 17?
Yeah, first the girl.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I probably.
That's a good question. Did you sleep on that for a day or two? I'm gonna say that it's the mom, but I'm also gonna say maybe 30 years ago it would be the mom. I think 30 years later, I think it's probably doesn't really matter which one it is. And it could be the dad.
Well, yeah, for the girls, I think definitely a long time ago it's the mom because maybe 30, 40 years ago because women's roles were more limited.
Yes.
But now that you're out in the real world, sometimes you need that dad to tell you how to be tough for yourself, how to speak up for yourself, and sometimes you can't fight everybody. And so I think dad has more of an influence on girls' lives today mm-hmm. than they did before. Before it was just like, you know, hey, you're going to be more domesticated. Limited job opportunity, so your mom can handle that. Mm-hmm. I think today,
when I look back at my sons, after my split with my ex,
who was a very nice woman as far as morals or what you call it.
I knew that her raising two sons, she was going to be calling on me.
Good.
I knew that. That's why I never pursued any type of child custody or
brother
because
that.
I am ready. I'm bring mine on.
I can be
my,
you know,
bring me my kids. And they came and we spent lots of time together.
You guys came out and hung out with us at the football camp.
Now
flip it over. Okay.
Okay.
Now for your boys, since we're going that way now, which parent's more important today? 21st century.
Right. millennial kids, it's got to be the dad. And the reason being is there are so many, I want to say opportunities, but there are also distractions for women that they choose those over their children. Wow. The distractions for the men, I think, have always been the same. But I think for women, it's way more distractions for them, all right? Even if it's nothing but standing in line and going and getting a $2,500 purse and leaving their kids in cars, you know, getting their kids in cars. There's so many distractions that they put these material things in front of their...
more opportunities.
Yes, yes.
I still think, even before, I think it only, it takes a man to make a man. You know, your mom can make a good person, okay, but certain things about men, like pouting. I remember when my younger son was little, he would pout, and I would just get on him about it. Like, men don't pout.
Yeah,
men don't pout. And his mom's like, I don't understand why that's a big deal. I'm like, because you're not a man.
Our associate producer,
okay, Deuce,
was upset because I got him a sprinkled donut, but it didn't have the right sprinkles on it. Now, I didn't even know this. But there are different types of sprinkle donuts.
I didn't know that. Come on.
Right. So there are strawberry sprinkles, cherry sprinkles, and chocolate sprinkles. Chocolate and white or something, confetti type of sprinkles. And so I just said, give me some strawberry sprinkles.
I can tell strawberry from cherry. I don't even know how to tell the difference. They're red.
So when I got, so he was asleep when I bought it. So when we woke up, and I said, I got you a donut, he looked in the bag. He was like, I don't want it. I said, you don't want it? He said, no. I said, why not? He's like, it's got these sprinkles on it. And he went into the pouting thing. And he almost started to cry.
At the bottom, yeah.
Because I didn't get him the right donut. And I'm like, well, guess what? You don't have to eat it. But I can open that door, and I'll have five kids that will love to have this donut.
Great lesson.
Love to have that donut. I said, so what you want me to do? He took it back and he ate it.
Great lesson. That's a dad. That is a dad lesson. A mom lesson, and please, you know, no cards and letters. A mom lesson might have been, okay, babe, just give it to me. You don't have to eat it. But to go about and say, I can tell you five kids who would love to have. All I got to do is open this door and say, who wants a donut? That, what you did was brought it around the, okay, that's what you, how you feel. Let's get real.
Yeah.
Let's get real. Okay.
And he knows it. He knew they'd be up here. If I say, who wants a donut? Mr. E giving away donut? I'm there.
That's the father lesson. That's the father lesson. We're going to end on that, man. That's where I think moms and dads are different. Folks, this audio has been kind of crazy, but we're going to go ahead and try to get out of here while we're eating donuts. Strawberry sprinkles, cherry. I don't know the difference between strawberry sprinkles and cherry sprinkles.
You will after today.
But apparently there must be some, because if our associate and producer, Deuce, says there's a difference, there must be a difference. Hey, this is Big Brother Mike saying goodbye.
I'm Little Brother Steve saying goodbye.
Just being brothers, and we'll see you next time.
Peace and happiness.